Welcome along to our Sunday morning service. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. It's a lovely summer's day. We're still at the back end of the summer, so it's nice to come out this morning, and we do welcome you as we come now to worship the Lord. Let's hear the words of Scripture. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Amen. We're going to rise and begin our worship this morning by singing a hymn which will be up on screen. It's a well-known hymn for us, "Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity, in Perfect Harmony, the Man Who is God." Let's rise and sing together. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We do bow down in worship, for you, O Lord, are our God. You are the Almighty God, the Eternal One, from the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You are the Holy God, and we worship you this morning. We come into your presence this day, and thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a holy and a pure God, but you are a God of grace, and in your grace you've reached down to mankind, sinful mankind. Lord, we know we don't deserve the least of your mercies, but thank you that you've sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, the man who is God. Thank you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and dwelt among us, and who offered up his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of his people. We thank you that Christ has died, and he has risen from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. We worship and we adore you this morning. Thank you for the perfect plan of salvation. Christ is risen from the dead. The price for sin has been paid. And Lord, thank you for such a great salvation that we know if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, for the blessed hope that we have. Lord, we have to struggle on as fallen creatures in a fallen world, and there's pain and there's trials and tribulations, but there's many blessings as well, Heavenly Father, and thank you for the way you lead and guide us. We pray, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and keep transforming us, Lord, working in us, and make us more like the person you would have us to be. Cleanse us from our sin, we pray. Thank you for the way you've blessed us even since the last time we met in this place. Thank you for your continued leading and guiding and your protection, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that you'd bless our time together, and that we'd know a real sense of your presence in our midst, Heavenly Father. Make yourself known to us, speak to our hearts, we pray, reveal yourself to us afresh, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray as well, bless our time together, be with those who are not able to meet with us. And Lord, we do pray especially as well for loved ones that we know of, and people known to us, Lord, who are laid aside at this time. We pray that you'd minister to them, be very near to them at this time, we pray. And Lord, do as well bless our pastor and his wife and family while they're away for at this time, Lord, enjoying a break. And we just pray that they be refreshed and ready to begin the ministry again here in the days to come. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your presence. Bless our gathering, we pray, and we ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. He is the only Saviour of mankind. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's take our hymn books now, or, well, if you want to take a hymn book, you have the option this time, because this one's in the book, but it's also on screen, of course. It's an old favourite. There's a sound on the wind like a victory song, and if you are using the book, it's 984. So let's rise and sing together. There aren't many notices before we take up the Lord's offering. I am responsible for both services today while the pastor is away enjoying a holiday. The Lord's table follows the morning service, so if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you're welcome to remain behind. Next Sunday, God willing, the pastor is still off, so speaker for the morning service, it's a new face for the church. It'll be his first time speaking here, Mr. John McCall, who lives out in Lonmay. Don't know if you noticed, just a few weeks ago he came to worship with us on Sunday morning, but he'll be taking our morning service. And then the speaker next Sunday at 6 o'clock, no stranger to us, it's James Cardno. So do come along and join us for those services. And just a reminder as well that during the summertime it's different meetings don't run, but the prayer meetings on Wednesday and Saturday are still on, so do come and join us 7:30 on a Wednesday, 7 o'clock on a Saturday. You'll be most welcome. Come and join us for prayer. Now, these are all the notices I think I need to make this morning. So now the Lord's offering will be uplifted. We could just remain seated while the Lord's offering is uplifted. The chorus will be up on screen if you'd like to sing. It's Jesus, it's an old favourite. Jesus, we enthrone you, we proclaim you our King. Let's remain seated while the Lord's offering is uplifted. Okay, so I think it's quite a long time since we've sung that one, so we maybe need a bit more practice, but we'll maybe sing it again sometime soon. But anyway, our Bible reading today, it might be your Bible reading tomorrow, I don't know, depending on which readings you're going through. But our reading for this morning in the service is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 to 10. So a very familiar passage. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 then. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 1. Paul writes, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for such a great salvation. As the passage reminds us, it is indeed all of grace. And we pray that you'd bless us and speak to us afresh from this passage of Scripture this morning. And Lord, minister to us as each of us needs. Strengthen us in our faith, we pray. Thank you for your word, which makes us wise into salvation and also teaches us how to live and rejoice as a Christian. And we just pray you'd speak to us once again in a real way from your living word, we pray. Lord, we do pray you'd bless the ongoing work and witness of the church in this place. We pray you'd come and renew the work, revive your church, we pray, and bless the different meetings and the different outreaches and planned outreaches, Heavenly Father. Bless the ministry of the word, we do pray, as a result, that souls will be saved, that lives will be changed. We pray you'd come and renew your church nationwide, Heavenly Father, that you'd come and do a new work in our land. And we pray for times of blessing, times of refreshing. And we pray for a turning back to you in these dark and difficult days. We pray for people to turn and seek the Lord while he may be found. Pray for our leaders, Heavenly Father, for our First Minister, for our Prime Minister, and for those in places of authority. You'd give them wisdom to lead, wisdom to govern, we pray. For those who know and love the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in places of authority, give them the boldness and the strength to speak out for you, we pray. Heavenly Father, we look up at the international scene. We pray for peace, Heavenly Father, and stability. We pray especially for the situation over in North Korea, a land which has got much troubles, Heavenly Father. We pray for a peaceful resolution to that tense situation. It's a concern for us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, your hand is upon the situation. We pray for a peaceful resolution. And Lord, we know as well there are brothers and sisters in the Lord who are suffering great persecution over in North Korea. And we do pray you'd give them much grace and strength to stand up in the midst of persecution. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for the removal of that evil regime. We do pray for the removal of the dictator and the evil regime, Heavenly Father, and your people in that land may have the freedom to worship and to share their faith with others, we pray. Lord, we do pray as well for other tense situations. We pray you'd stop the advance of Islamic extremism. And we do pray, Lord, that you'd push back the forces of sin and darkness, Heavenly Father. Pray your light, the light of the gospel, will shine through. And we do pray, Heavenly Father, that many will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Jesus Christ is coming again. Help us to labor on for you, Heavenly Father. And we do pray that many will turn, repent of their sins, and be saved before Christ comes again. Lord, hear us, we pray. Again, Lord, be with us, bless our time together this day, and do pray you'd strengthen the sick, strengthen the elderly, we pray, strengthen those who are not able to be with us this morning. Let them know your loving presence with them, wherever they may be. So bless our time together, and speak to us from your word, teach us by your Spirit, and be glorified here in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. Before we come to God's word this morning, then let's sing another hymn. It'll be up on screen. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Let's rise and sing together. It's very sad that life for so many people is darkness. Now, that's true as we look around society today. There's an air of despondency amongst people. They wonder what hope is there for our society today, the way the direction it's all going. What hope is there in the bigger world picture? Someone said to me just even in recent months, the world's taken a mad turn on itself these days. Sad as well. And when you look at people in television and in films as well, you think that they've got everything. The reality is very different as well. These people are very often struggling with all sorts of problems and looking for a purpose and a meaning in life. It's very sad, wasn't it? A few years ago, a very talented man, certainly. I didn't like all the things that he would have appeared in or done, but Robin Williams was a great entertainer, well-known, entertained many people, very popular, and then suddenly just woke up one morning, turned on the television, the sad news, he had taken his own life. He battled with all sorts of problems and depression and really going through troubled, a man that went through troubled times. Many years before him, maybe a forerunner of Robin Williams, there was another entertainer, a comic actor, Peter Sellers. Again, desperately troubled man, and he said his comment on life was the realization. It was very popular, but you know, many people laughed at the things he was in. But his comment on life was the realization is less than the expectation. I tell you the truth, all I'm trying to do is get through the day. And when I cry for yesterday. If you go back further to another funny man, Tony Hancock. Some of you might remember him on the radio and the television, Hancock's Half Hour. He took his life in the late 1960s and left a note, true happiness is impossible to find. Sad reflections are people who walked through life without God and without Jesus Christ. It's sad that for many people, life is darkness and it's despair, it's despondent. Jesus Christ brings light and life for the asking. Those who put their trust and know Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who trust Christ find that he changes the darkness to light. He changes death to life, life abundant and eternal life. Jesus Christ reveals and gives the brilliance of his life and his sustaining power. And that's seen for us in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 1, Paul tells the Ephesians that he is praying for them. To all the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He then goes on to talk in that chapter about the spiritual blessings found in Christ. And he tells people and later on in the chapter, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul explains to the Ephesians that he is praying for them. And he prays that they might clearly see what has happened to them, the change in their life, and what has happened to them. And he doesn't just pray for them, but he goes on to explain it to them. And in explaining what has happened to the Ephesians, this wonderful change of life by the grace of God through Christ Jesus, by explaining it to the Ephesians, he explains it to us today. And that's what we want to look at as we come to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So let's look at it together. First thing I want to draw your attention to is what we were. What we were. So let's think about that for a moment. What we were. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. There we are, we were dead. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Because that's what we were, a pretty bleak picture if you reflect on it. what we were. Paul says, you were dead. You were dead. Now, what he means by that is he's speaking about being cut off from God. We were dead because of sin. We were spiritually dead, not physically dead. We haven't come to that stage yet, of course, because we're all sitting here very much alive, physically alive. But we were spiritually dead, cut off from God, cut off from a holy God. I was reading from Isaiah a bit earlier this morning, Isaiah chapter 6, which speaks about the holy God, the greatness and the majesty of God, and the angels bow down, they go, holy, they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We were cut off from this holy God. Isaiah writes in another well-known passage later on, he says, we like sheep have gone astray, each of us have gone his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were sinners and we went our own way, we went away from the God, our Creator, the God who loved us, the God who has done so much for us, we went our own way, we rebelled. We were dead because of our sin. We failed him. We didn't meet the mark. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There in Isaiah 6, there's God and the vision of God and all his glory. But we're told that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, no matter how hard we try. We were dead in trespasses and sin. God spoke and we did not care. God speaks today and people don't care. The unconverted are like that today. God speaks. God reveals himself. God reaches out to people. He ministers to them in different ways. People don't care. They're dead in trespasses and sins. The unconverted are like that today. God speaks. They don't care. They put the shutters up. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. We were sinners. We'd failed to meet the mark. We were spiritually dead. We were rebels as well. We, as Paul says here, you once walked following the course of the world. So say we all went our own way. Isaiah writes, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. We went our own way. We went the course of the world. We walked with the crowd. And as we walked with the crowd, we walked without God. Why do people walk with the crowd and walk without God? Why is it that God speaks and people don't care? People ignore it. People neglect it. Paul opens it up in chapter 2 here. He says that there's a spiritual power that was at work. And it is at work in people today. There's a spiritual power at work. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. He still makes the prince of the power of the air, the devil, he still makes people disobey and rebel against God today. He's out to destroy mankind. So you see, what we were dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sin. We were rebels going according, following the course of the world, deceived by the wicked one. And we followed the passions of our flesh, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body, of the body. We were living lives in rebellion to God. We lived lives of total selfishness, living in a self-centered world, motivated by the devil. Unbelievers were on his side, not caring whether they pleased God, not caring whether he existed or not, not caring whether they pleased God or not. That's where we were before the grace of God came and changed our lives. And that's where people are today. That's where non-Christians are. And that's where we were. We were dead. We were rebels following the course of this world, deceived by the wicked one. We were also condemned. Condemned. In verse 3, we were by nature children of wrath. We were living under the wrath of God. So you see, we were going against God. And when people go against God and live lives without God and live lives in opposition to God, God's wrath is upon them. And we were children. We were by nature, we're told here, children of wrath. It was inherited. Children, don't they? They inherit characteristics from their parents. They might look like their parents. They might behave and have different mannerisms. Might behave and have similar mannerisms to their parents. Well, by nature, we're told here, we carried out the desires of the body and the mind and were by nature children of wrath. Sin is inherited. Our first parents sinned way back in the Garden of Eden, to the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and his commands. Our first parents sinned and we inherited their sinful nature. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 5, he writes these words. He writes, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And we experienced the wrath of God. We were children of wrath. Man cannot save himself. We are sinners by nature and we are under the wrath of God. In John 3, verse 18, we read these words. We read, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe. That's where we were. Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So those who don't believe, don't know Christ as their Savior, the Bible says they are condemned already. Sinners experience the wrath of God. Sinners outside of Christ experience the wrath of God. And that's where we were. Mankind cannot save himself. Mankind cannot please God. We were rebels following the course of this world. We cannot in and of ourselves please God. No matter how hard we try. You can imagine when you were doing your driving test. You make a mistake at the beginning of the test. Okay, you failed to indicate or whatever, what sort of mistakes could people make. You failed to get your feet onto the brake and the examiner has to use the pedals or whatever. Make a mistake right at the beginning, at the opening minute of your test. It doesn't matter, even though you do everything absolutely perfectly afterwards. And even if you protest, oh, but I did my three-point turn just spot on. I did my reverse park just right. Even if you protest, you have not met the standard and the examiner will fail you. You cannot get the approval of the examiner. And that's where we were. No matter how hard we try, we were children of wrath. We were rebels by nature. We had a sinful nature. We were rebels against God. And no matter how hard we try, the very best efforts that we could make, we could not get the approval of our Heavenly Father. We're still dead in trespasses and in sin. However, there are two words in this passage that make the difference as we go on to our next point. Do you know what the two words are? See them there at the beginning of verse 4. Look at them. But God. But God. And that's when we move from the what we were to the what we became in the next verses. But God. The famous Welsh preacher of the 20th century, the well-known Welsh preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was doing a series on Ephesians. He went through it in 8 years. I'm not sure I would like to have a go at that, going through something in 8 years. He did it in 8 years, though, and the volumes are still available for us to read today, and there's some very powerful messages in there. And there's one whole sermon, he spoke for a whole hour, if not more than that, on just those two words, but God. It makes a difference. And we link in here from the what we were to the what we became. But God. But God being rich in mercy. There we are. Here's where the change comes. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We're turning from the what we were to the what we became. Because we see that we were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we were dead. We became alive. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. We became alive. We, instead of being dead in trespasses and sin, through Christ we have spiritual life, a spiritual resurrection brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. We are put in union with Christ. We are made alive together. Made us alive. God made us alive there in verse 5. Together with Christ. We are put into a union with Christ. We were made alive together. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, his death was reckoned to be your death. All your sins are considered forgiven. Christ bore your sin if you on his body on the cross, and all your sins are considered forgiven. His death was reckoned to be your death, and his resurrection was reckoned to be your resurrection. These are blessings for the believer, seen in your spiritual resurrection. His resurrection is considered to be your resurrection, seen in your spiritual resurrection now, and it will be seen one day in your bodily resurrection. So you see, without Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sin. With Christ, we became alive. We were children of wrath, under the wrath of God, but we became possessors of a hope. In verse 6, but God, he made us alive together with Christ, and in verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are united by faith. We are united to Jesus Christ. And where he is, we are. Okay, physically, we are on earth. Spiritually, we are seated in heaven. We have a new outlook in life, a new worldview, and we enjoy the fellowship of our Savior. And we have access to the throne through prayer. We have many blessings. We are united to Christ. We enjoy his fellowship. We enjoy his presence through the good times and through the bad times. We have access to the throne through prayer. And also, this verse here that speaks about being seated with Christ in heavenly places doesn't just speak about the present and the blessings that we have as Christians in the present, but it also anticipates the future, because soon this earth will be gone. I mentioned the person who sent to me a few months ago, the world seems to have taken a mad turn on itself these days. Well, it does appear to be like that. It could well be that time is short for this world. But we do know that at some point, certainly, the Bible teaches that someday this earth will be gone. And the devil and all the fallen angels, the evil spirits and the demons, and unbelievers, those who have rejected God's offer of grace, mercy, and salvation, they will be in a lost eternity. They will be in hell. Eternal conscious punishment. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Who will be there? God will be there. Holy angels will be there. And Christian believers from every age will be there. They'll all be there. The apostles, the reformers, Whitfield and the Wesleys, C.H. Spurgeon, and believers, though, or just plain believers, ordinary believers, Christian believers, from every age they will be there. Why will they be there? Because of any great work that they did? No. The teaching of the passage here is because of what God has done through, in and through Jesus Christ. We have a hope through him if we know him. We've passed from death to life. We've passed from being a child of wrath to a child of hope through Jesus Christ. That's what we became. We also became, in verse 10, we became his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. No longer following the course of this world, no longer following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, carrying out the passions of our flesh, no longer going in that direction, living that life, but a new creation. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. It's the new birth that Jesus speaks about in John chapter 3, the spiritual birth, the spiritual life. It's a life to live now. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's a life to live now, and we live differently. We are a new person in Christ. We remember what we were, a child of wrath, child of disobedience, dead in trespasses and sins, but we can rejoice when we know what we are. We know what we are. We're a child of hope. We are God's workmanship. He's still at work, changing us, rubbing off the rough edges, maturing us, causing us to grow. We have a hope, and we are alive, and with a hope now and for all eternity. So finally, this morning, we've seen what we were, we've seen what we are. If we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, we've seen what we are his workmanship, we are alive in Christ. What made the difference? It's the last thing I want to consider this morning. What made the difference? But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. But God, go back to those words again, but God, God stepped in. We were children of wrath, we were dead in trespasses and sin, children of wrath, facing the wrath of God, under God's condemnation, heading for a lost eternity, no hope in this world or in the next, but God. But God, God stepped in. And he gave this life. We could not earn it. We could not achieve it. We could not work for it. But God, God stepped in. And why did God step in? Why did God give it? Was it because of something we did? Well, Paul says here, by grace, in verse 5, by grace you have been saved. Then in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's an act of grace. It's totally undeserved. We did nothing at all to earn it. It's grace. It's the gift of God. It is undeserved. It's not because of who we are. It's not because of what we are. It's not because of our background. It's not because of our family background. It's not because of any work we have done. It's grace. It's because of who he is, because of what he's done. There's nothing in us, but because of his mercy, but God being rich in mercy, and because of his great love, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, but God, he stepped in, he made the difference. It's because of who he is and what he has done. God is rich in mercy. Mercy. What's mercy? It's when a punishment is deserved, but is not given. You could imagine a driving offense. You go through the speed camera over 60 miles an hour, light flashes, but they decide to turn a blind eye to it. You won't get the points on your license or be fined. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Be helpful. What about bad behavior in school? Using an illustration here from something I'm familiar with, of course, the teacher might just say, we'll let you off with a warning. Don't do that again. Okay, rather than send you from the class and send a letter home to parents or whatever. Turn a blind eye, okay, let you off. A punishment is maybe deserved, but it's not given. If you think of a bad tackle in a football match, you could imagine Rangers or Celtic going in over the top tackles. But the referee just turns the blind eye because the crowd will, of course, go for the referee if he takes out his red card and sends a player off. A punishment is deserved. No, that's not mercy, of course, that's just cowardice. But sometimes, you know, if a player commits a bad foul in a football match, the referee might just turn a blind eye and let the play continue. Okay, a punishment is deserved, but it's not given. Well, it's really a much deeper meaning, though, than that with God. The punishment that we deserve is punishment for our sin against a holy God. these other things I'm mentioning, a red card not being given in football, or cheeky behaviour in a school, it pales in insignificance compared with sin against a holy God. God is infinitely holy. All sin is offensive to God and deserves the wrath and the punishment of God. The punishment, this is grace, God's grace, it makes the difference. The punishment for our sin was put on the Lord Jesus Christ. God is more than merciful. God is a God of grace. God gives us what we do not deserve. A price is paid, and a good report, it's like a good report going into someone. The price for sin has been paid. We're declared righteous before God because of what Christ, God incarnate, did for us. And Christians are saved. Christ's righteousness is put onto our account. We don't deserve it, but Christ's righteousness is put onto our account. We're declared righteous before God. Christians are saved from the wrath of God. Our lives are changed and turned around because of God's mercy. But we're also changed, we're blessed, and we have an eternal hope because of God's grace. It's an act of grace. Christ's righteousness is reckoned to us. We don't deserve it, but God is rich in grace and in mercy. And you know as well, these blessings are received by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By knowing, by believing, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas had been put in prison for preaching the truth. You remember the story in Acts chapter 16, they sang praises to God, and there was an earthquake, and the door of the prison swung open. The jailer thought that Paul and Silas had escaped. He was going to take his life. Paul spoke to him and stopped him from taking his life. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What was the answer? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Salvation is by faith. Through God's mercy, through God's grace, and it's an act of faith. By grace we are saved through faith. Knowing, believing, trusting. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's an act of faith. It's entirely God's free gift to us. We contribute nothing. Are you rejoicing in these blessings? Are they yours? Are you living the life of faith and you know that the grace of God is at work in your life? It's made a difference to your life. Once we were dead, now we are alive. Is that true in your life? Once we were a rebel following the course of the world, now we walk in Christ. Once we were a child of wrath, now seated in heavenly places. That's the experience for the believer this morning. Is it your experience? Well, we've seen that it can be your experience. We should be rejoicing. You can know these blessings in your own life by knowing, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. For your salvation, an act of faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, not through any works, as Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Let's rejoice this morning. If we know Christ as our Savior, once we were dead, now we are alive. Once we were a rebel, walking against God and against Christ, now we're walking in Christ. Once we were a child of wrath with no hope in this world or for the next, now we are seated in heavenly places and have a hope now and for all eternity. And what was it that made the difference? Was it something we did? Was it because of who we were? No. What made the difference? It was all because of God's wonderful, amazing grace. Amen. And we will sing the well-known hymn that speaks about God's amazing grace. And if you want to use your hymn book, it's 471. But let's rise and sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Let's rise and sing as we close together. for this time in your presence this morning. I ask you, Lord, to be with those who have to leave us just now and let them know your grace and your peace with them throughout the day, we pray, and be with ask your blessing, Lord, upon us as we meet around the Lord's table. We pray we'll know your presence with us. O Lord, hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.